Well, tonight, with the rest of the time, I'd like to make a pivot here and to speak to you something similarly, seemingly, that has nothing to do with the burden, on renewal, but it does. I'd like to do two things tonight here. Number one is to share with you, brothers and sisters, about a burden for the United States of America. In the light of the move of the Lord in his recovery. Then after that, I would like to, later on, you don't need to wait there, to give you a review of Bibles for America 2014. And these two things would dovetail. That would probably take us about 20 minutes or something like this. I don't know, this thing would take us how long, but we won't be here until midnight, okay, so. What time is it, by the way?
8:30.
Okay, that's good. All right, at the most, an hour. I personally believe, and I don't say this because it just got into my head, I say this with some amount of consideration over a rather long period of time. A few things. Well, let me finish this thought of mine. And that is that since the Lord's recovery came to this country, and that would be in the early 60s, by now it's over half a century, plus a little bit. Let's say half a century, 50 some years, that in a way we have come full cycle. By that I mean that when the Lord's recovery started here over 50 years ago, primarily under his work in Brother Witness Lee, and then with so many saints that were around at that time, in cooperation, the country, and those of you who are old, my age, should remember, the 60s, by all counts, is one of the most tumultuous decades in our history of this country. Many, many things happened that define these last 50 years. It's not exactly the post-war years, post-World War II years, and that would be in the 40s, the late 40s and the 50s. But in the 60s, a number of things happened, right? And I won't get into that. But it was in that very tumultuous times, almost like, humanly speaking, the wrong time, that the Lord led Brother Lee to come. And all the anti-establishment, all the assassinations, do you remember in that decade? Unbelievable, one after another. The counterculture, the sexual revolution, the drug culture, all manners of things were unleashed in those 10 years. And many of us, the older generation who are still around, came around that time in the 60s, and perhaps a little bit in the early 70s. And I myself came to the Lord's recovery or touch the Lord's recovery in this country, although I was actually saved in the church in the Far East, but on my own, coming into the Lord's recovery with my own vision, it was in 1967. And so I can, along with some others, boast a little bit that I was present. Now, I was not present in 62 when Brother Lee started, in those first 5 years. But those 5 years were foundational years, were formative years. By the time I came, I basically was catching a huge wave, the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring in what I believe, fully believe, one of the biggest revival in the Lord's recovery ever amongst us. The peak of that recovery, in according to Brother Lee, was 1969. Remember the Vietnam War. Remember all that situation. And that year was the year he released the seven spirits, the recovery of the house and the city. The life and building in the Psalms. That was that year. But that year didn't happen out of a sudden. It was a build-up from 92 onwards. In those years, since 1962, many, many of the seekers, preachers, pastors, free groups, what we call, were brought in. There in California, and also in Texas, and not so much in the other parts. Brother Lee would spend half of the year to travel through this country, the other half to stay in LA to build up a model church. That was his strategy. He would calculate on a piece of paper the number of Christians, nominal Christians in this country, and the number of true Christians in this country, and out of the number of true Christians in this country, how many seekers would there be? He calculated that mathematically. And he would pray. In 1962, after he came here meaning from Seattle to LA, to join that fledgling little church in Los Angeles, he and two brothers pray for 30 days, mainly for the USA and for the gaining of seekers in the USA and the local Americans in USA. It was after that he conducted that first conference on the all-inclusive Christ. From then on, slowly, these seekers begin to come in here and there. By the time of the mid-late 60s, there was another group of people that started to come in, the hippies. Remember the hippies? The street people, the young people, begin to come in to populate the church there in L.A. And so quickly the church grew into hundreds. And some of you remember, by the late 60s and 70, 71, there's no way for Eldon Hall to contain that number. That's when we started to meet in the Embassy Auditorium. Some of you may remember that. And later in the LA Convention Center until 1974, when we moved from LA to Orange County, to Anaheim. Now, those years were special. And tomorrow we're going to talk about revival. I'm going to give you a history of revival in the Lord's recovery, leading to that particular revival in the 60s. Tomorrow, brothers, you can pass out that sheet of paper that is based on his book, The History of the Church and the Local Churches, given in 1973 in the informal spring training, where he have a chapter entirely devoted, almost entirely devoted to the revivals in the Lord's recovery. And the last revival mentioned there was not Eldon. It was Shanghai. But that was Brother Lee at that time. Today, actually, I don't claim to be an expert, but for a number of years now, the last 5-6 years, with a group of helpers, I've been studying the history of Los Angeles. I call it the LA years. We went around to interview some brothers, maybe even some in this room, from that time. And my, in retrospect, I look at those years having been there myself and then studying that situation in the context of the Lord's recovery that started in China in 1922, which by now would be what? How many years? Give it a few more years, it will be the centennial, the 100-year anniversary of the Lord's recovery. That's such a very long time. Just to give you a contrast, the brethren in England, the Plymouth Brethren, did not sustain themselves hardly that long. They started in the mid to late 1800s, 1820-something. And by the time they're in the 1840s or so, they were already split up. But amongst us, although there were storms, there were difficulties, the recovery continued until today. Now, what I'm trying to say is, or what I believe in my heart, and based on at least my own observation, is that a long winter has come to the recovery since the 70s. What happened? You know, starting from 1969 and 70, we began a great migration out of LA. And today, many churches started at that time, including Chicago. We call it the Great Migration. It was truly great and truly dynamic. And almost overnight, the Lord's recovery spread to the major metropolitan areas. The enemy knew that. And right at that time, the plotting began, as we later found out through our 2 lawsuits because of the evil books, that the plotting, a certain kind of plotting, began to diminish, to damage, even to destroy this ministry of Brother Lee. And this, what they call the movement of the local churches. So they call it Witness Lee and the Local Churches. That's the common name. So in the mid-70s, 2 things happened. One, a certain ambitious people were planted themselves in the Lord's recovery and rose to prominence and position. And they brought in the first major rebellion in this country. And that blew up, that rebellion just blew up, or in the late 70s, I won't go back to that era. Chicago suffered a great deal from it, and we in LA suffer a great deal from it. And through that, listen to me, a lot of the ones who were gained through that migration, many young people were all swept away. And most of them were the typical Americans. In those days, we did not have that many Chinese or, you know, these other ethnicities. Gone. I can, you know, sometimes I do think if all those people were kept pure in the recovery, how different the recovery will be today in terms of its growth, in terms of the leadership. Blown away, blown away. So that was the first punch. There was another punch. That is the punch from within. The other punch is the evil books begin to come out. The God-man, the mind-benders, hundreds of articles begin to appear to label us as a cult. A cult. And those were the days of Jim Jones and People's Temple. Some of you young people don't know what I'm talking about. We're talking about mass suicide, homicide, whatever, depending how you read it. And all those craziness. There were lots of cults proliferating in this country. And we were quickly labeled as one of them, and one of the most dangerous ones. In the first edition of The God-Man, I believe, or was it in The Kingdom of the Cults by CRI, then Walter Martin? We were placed right next to the People's Temple, the next chapter. Guilt by association. So overnight, we became the most disparaged, the most loathed, the most condemned, the most evil cult in America. Witness Lee and the local churches. And these words are not exaggeration. If you have lived through those times, you know what I'm talking about. That's second punch. So the inward adversary and the outward enemy combined to just bring the Lord's recovery, which in the 60s were just burgeoning, growing. In fact, one of the reasons why they want to stop us is because we're growing too fast. There's something called religious jealousy or rivalry. And so we were stopped dead in our tracks. It was a growth like this. I would call it an exponential growth like this. The Lord's recovery. Then it just stopped dead in the tracks. At that time, we have to, Brother Lee, have to turn his ministry very much on life and truth to stabilize, to recover that situation. And today you will find message on truth messages, life messages, all given at that time. Besides, on the West Coast, something happened simultaneously as a rebellion in Boston and took out many, many young people that were gained through those migrations in the early 70s. We also have to channel our energy to fight this mislabeling. And so the Lord led us to file suit, two suits, not because we are litigious, not because we're lawsuit happy, because we have to survive. And thank God we're in a free country of law. We have a system of justice here. You just don't go around and slander people and label people without consequence. So in the principle of Paul, appealing to Caesar, we appeal to the great, to the constitution of this country, to the law, to redress our situation. And that costs money, lawyers, time, energy, money. And so in those years, late 70s, and the lawsuit began in 1980, the first lawsuit was filed. The second came pretty quickly. Those lawsuits were not concluded in settlement until 1985, 5 years later. What I'm trying to tell you is that the recovery, the prevailingness of the recovery, and the growth rate of the recovery were never the same. Starting in those years, in the late 70s, I would say we enter into a long winter in this country. A long winter. And even Brother Lee used the word, a dormant situation. The thing that gave Brother Lee comfort and encouragement was not happening in this continent, but in Stuttgart, Germany. That was his joy. That was his happiness. That was his hope. That's the time when the Iron Curtain was still standing there. The Berlin Wall was still there. Brother Lee would go there yearly at what they call the Pentecost time in May. Many of us went there with him. We remember those days of glory. It was like Eldon again. Kind of like that. But this country, Brother Lee, or someone once said, I think Brother Lee, he said Europe is on the sunrise. U.S. is at noon, and the Far East is somewhat in sunset. Then in 1984, in the midst of this, he did two things, or rather in the early 80s, he did two things. To break out of this doldrum, this dormancy, number one, he started the Chinese-speaking work. Now, I can say something about that because Brother Lee called me and others to come up and out and serve full-time with him to take care of that work. And so the early 80s is the time when I traveled to a lot of places to seek these Chinese scholars and students, you know what I mean. That's how the Chinese-speaking work began. Number two, he finished the Life Studies New Testament in 1984. At the drop of his pen, he decided to go back to Taiwan, this sunset place, because this is the place where he began. His ministry came onto its own, really, in Taiwan, outside China. There was a lot of assets there of churches of saints. He felt he must go back there to research again how to break through this dormant situation. And he felt U.S. was not ready to do that. It's not ready because of all these reasons I just talked about. But there in Taiwan, they've been through their rebellion in the 50s and 60s, a very, very severe one, and they are just there ready for his leadership. So he went back in 84 for 5 years. Some of us went back there, right? And in those years, he finished the recovery version. He started the FTT full-time training in Taipei. He called the serving ones to evangelize Taiwan, Today, this word, GTCA, Gospelized, Truthized, and Churchized, came out at that time. And what else did he do? He researched and came up with, according to the scriptures, a new way, and that is the God-ordained way. To serve, to preach the gospel, to shepherd, to have home group meetings, to prophesy for the building up of the body. His heart, and I can tell you this because it is in print somewhere, was not to stay in Taiwan. Taiwan is really a small island with only so many people. His burden is to find that and to bring what he has found back to the U.S. and to work it out in the U.S. for a breakthrough. People who know Brother Witness Lee would know that he is persevering and he is persistent. So he came back. Lo and behold, the enemy awaits. He didn't come back to a situation ready for him or even welcome him. He came back to the second rebellion. And it was so bad that that second rebellion includes the demolition, almost total demolition of the Lord's recovery in this once upon happy place called Germany. All gone. And the person who was in the lead there, who is almost like his son, whom Brother Lee loves, carrying out the recovery there in Europe, became one of the four main leaders in that rebellion. And I know him personally very well. That's what happened. So Brother Lee came back. Once again, he has to do remedial work. Recovery work, restoration work. And he traveled, and he did that. Much of his energy. And thank the Lord, through that kind of ministry, the recovery again was saved. And have certain level of peace and stability. And that took a number of years. You have to realize Brother Lee by this time is in his late 80s. And he realized he had only so much time left. He couldn't do everything. So all he could do was to speak the God-ordained way so that it will be in print. And the last of his speaking of the God-ordained way is the subject of the vital groups. The vital groups. But he did not have energy to lead, to carry that out. And he looked to us, the younger co-workers, to carry it out. He said, if you don't carry it out, he talked to some of us, you're not my co-worker. That word is still reverberating in me tonight. Personally, I'm obligated to God. I'm obligated to the Lord's recovery. And I'm obligated to my senior co-worker. This burden to work out the God-ordained way to have a breakthrough in the United States. Now, we couldn't do much in those days, as much as Brother Lee charged us. because we were all in the hospital, you know, with a lot of tubes and needles ourselves because of that rebellion. We couldn't. And so Brother Lee has to go on. Now we're in the early 90s. And the Lord gave him the particular burden that he has to finish his ministry at the high peak level. So from 1994 until he died in 1997, he gave his whole being to speak the high peak messages. And today you can buy them. It's a set like this. He must finish that before he meets the Lord. He met the Lord. The God-ordained way didn't really got carried out in a prevailing way, in much of a way. However, I would point this out. The Lord still gave Brother Lee some comfort, and that's Russia. Russia, 1991, went to Russia, practicing this way and gaining that country. That became Brother Lee's pride and joy. Some of you remember, he can hardly go through a message without talking about Russia. So Brother Lee died without seeing something happening in the USA. That part was not fulfilled in his lifetime. Now, since he died, and now it's 18 years. 2 months from now would be the 18th anniversary of his passing away. What happened in these last 18 years? A number of very important things, which brings us to the burden. Number one, I would say, what could have happened did not happen. What do I mean by that? After the passing of Brother Lee, there exists the great possibility for the recovery to fragment. Still the recovery, but become pieces. That propensity was there. In fact, some people were waiting for that. One of those people who waited for that is now dead. He was one of the four leading ones in that rebellion from the Far East. Talking one time to this one among you who is no longer among you, let's just wait when he dies. Then the whole thing will be ours. Exactly in those words. Well, not only the recovery did not fall apart, thank the Lord.
Amen.
But I say, especially with this seven feasts, the seven feasts, it kept the recovery together. Even when Brother Lee was alive, we didn't blend like that. Not only so, the co-workers in the Lord's recovery, East and West, the main ones, stuck together. Let me tell you, that is a big deal. Let me tell you a little story. Right after Brother Lee passed away, the churches in Orange County came together. And the co-workers, without Brother Lee, was sitting there. One of the sisters, actually from my church in Irvine, stood up. Pretty bold sister, okay? She looked right at us, these co-workers sitting there. He said, "Brothers, we still believe in the Lord's recovery and follow the Lord's recovery, because what we see here, you're still together. You didn't each go their own way, each developed their own ministry, and each started their own work. That was quite a speaking. And it is true. And I will testify to you being one of those brothers since 1997. Has not been easy. Don't think it's easy for co-workers to be one. No, it's not easy. The cross has to work. The Spirit has to work. All these renewing things have to work to keep us together. I tell you, in my feeling, is a miracle. East and West, not just East, West or East, East and West. Until today. Now, we're not perfect. There's still situations, but I tell you, this oneness preserved the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
The feast, the oneness of the brothers preserved the Lord's recovery. The feast even caused us all to speak the same thing. Am I right?
Right.
Like never before.
Right.
Eating the same food. And all the speaking you testify in these 17 years, fully, strictly according to the ministry.
Amen.
Never deviating to the left or the right. And that gives the saints the confidence that the Lord is still with us.
Amen.
And the recovery is still to be trusted. Not only so, in these years, DCP, you know, Defense Confirmation Project, we have such a thing, mainly to fight all these kind of attacks and opposition. They have been also doing something in these years that's very significant. They have been aggressively contacting Christian leaders in this country. And by their labor, the brothers' labor over many years, now we have some prominent Christian brothers who not only passively say that these guys are Christians, but they are actively seeing things about us that they admire and now are even being brought into. I don't want to just mention names here. You know what I'm talking about. And interestingly, the leading one is in that organization that initially labeled us cult. That very organization today is the one who issued this magazine to say we were wrong. And because of that term, their peers, other Christian leaders, took note. Now, I'm not saying they're all turning to love us or hug us, but I am saying a lot of these talk about us being this evil cult is now diffused, neutralized. This is not a small thing. Not a small thing. Then at the same time, in these years, we build up things such as Bibles for America to spread the Bibles out and this ministry out all over this land, this country. We will talk about that, if not tonight, tomorrow. Then what else? What else? The full-time training was started in 89 and began to produce full-timers. And over the years, we produced many, and many are still serving on the campuses. So the full-timers' work, the campus work, was developed like never before. And then we have something called GTCA, which is really the Lord's move in America to spread the Lord's testimony to many cities and places, migrations. And a number of you are in these cities today. Now, this is where we are. This is where we are. I personally believe, because of my study of this country, the Christian situation, the world situation, and so on, and you have to understand the Lord's move, you have to study these things. I'm very, very convinced, saints, I'm very convinced that we have gone full circle, meaning very likely we are now coming back to a time like 50 years ago. Amen. Even though the times are up and down, right? The society situation, all of this. But we have a whole new generation in front of us now. Amen. Than the generation of the 60s. The millennials. Most of them are born 1980 and afterwards. That's the millennials. They're open. They're seeking. They're looking for the meaning of life. They're not happy where they are with what is fed to them. The seekers are there. And even the unbelieving seekers are there. I can tell you that because of the responses we receive from Bible recipients and book recipients. This country, contrary to our thinking, is wide open.
Amen.
To the truth. To the gospel, I say, to the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
Now, what is my point? My point is that these years, this long winter, has somehow conditioned us with a certain kind of mentality. Because of the persecution, because of all the cult labeling, because of these turmoils and all these things, we have been conditioned somewhat to live underground, as in a bunker. We have become apologetic about our existence. We lost our boldness about who we are. We somewhat had gone into hiding. We were not like that. Well, in the recovery even, not just outside, a whole generation has emerged, right? I call these the young working saints. Up to 45 emerged over these years. And they now are becoming the mainstay in the recovery, as they should be. Brothers and sisters, I don't want them, I don't want this generation to continue in that mentality.
Amen.
It's not fair.
That's right.
That we pass it on to them by default. It's wrong. They don't deserve this. They have nothing to do with that. They were not there. They need to live and serve as we did in the 60s.
Amen. Amen.
That is, the U.S. is ours.
Amen.
How many songs we have in the supplement?
Right.
The Army song, the Marine song,
right.
The Air Force song,
right.
The Navy song. Everyone is, take this country.
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes.
We were crazy. We were bent on doing it, and we were doing it until the enemy struck. Now, I like to declare the long winter to be over.
Amen.
I believe it.
Amen.
And I'm going to say it.
Amen.
And I'm going to convince the older saints about this. I say we should reject, we should discard, We should throw away this mental block. We will not apologize for who we are. We're small. I don't mean we go out and become arrogant and just pick a fight. I don't mean that. But I do mean to be who we are, to be authentic, to be true to ourselves.
Amen.
Witnessly, no apology. The local churches, that's what we are. God become man, that man may become God, biblical. And many theologians actually agree with us. The Recovery Version, yes, the best study Bible you can find.
Amen.
That's why we're not selling it, because the best things in life is free. Now, let me go a step further. And that is, it's time for the USA
Amen.
To rise up.
Amen.
And not be in a battened down situation. It's been too long. I cannot take that anymore. Me, I cannot take that anymore. It's not right to be this battered whatever person, to have this mindset that we're the doormat or something. You know what I'm saying? It's not healthy. It's not healthy. Brothers and sisters, do you not believe, speaking sober-mindedly, the Lord has still blessed us with the revelation of the deepest truth in the Word of God?
Amen.
Do you not believe that we have the what? The most inclusive interpretation of the Bible?
Amen.
Do you not believe that this ministry that we're under is the ministry of this age? There are many other ministries,
right,
but there's only one ministry of the age,
right,
that will take this to the tape.
Amen.
At least to the end of this age. Do you believe it or not?
Amen.
I believe it.
Amen.
I speak soberly.
Amen.
Not in excitement, not do you also believe or not that we are getting closer and closer to the end times?
Amen.
According to prophecy, according to the world situation, it's getting worse. That's true. Natural disasters, human disasters. The Middle East. That is the world situation. And don't you believe, let me ask you this, that regardless of how the world is turning, how countries are rising and falling, that despite the speaking of certain doomsayers about the decline and fall of America, that this country is still the top country in the world today? Now, I'm not here waving the U.S. flag and being patriotic. I'm not in that realm. I'll tell you, I'm not in that realm. But I do believe what Brother Lee said about this country likely being that wilderness and that great eagle with two wings, you know, to the oceans. You remember that?
Amen.
And tomorrow, maybe I should forget about revival and talk to you about history. Human history and American history from this viewpoint to bring us to the time of this place where we are today. Dear saints, as far as I'm concerned, we're in a very strategic moment.
Amen.
in the history of the Lord's recovery in this country. We're at the threshold of a new season, of a new time after 50-some years. And I believe we are going to pick up where we left off.
Amen.
In the early 70s. Amen. And go further and go higher, because we have many more saints today. Some of us, the older ones sitting in the front row, you kill them before they leave the Lord's recovery. We have the faithful ones anchoring the recovery down. It's true. And we have to thank the Lord for these older saints. Young people, thank the Lord for the older ones. Without them, you won't be here. We have the churches. We have saints making money. We have the best truths. We have the God-ordained way. We have everything. Wow. Brothers and sisters, we are ready. The only thing we need is for all of us in one accord to identify with this commission, amen, this vision and commission, and rise up as one man in this country, amen, to go for it. Amen. I cannot go. I don't know when the Lord will take my life. It's not in my hands. But I just cannot go without pouring myself out for this. I can't. That's my calling. That's my burden. With my drop of my sweat, with the drop of my blood, I'm giving myself to this. Let me tell you, I'm not born here. I'm not a born U.S. citizen. And according to the Constitution, I will not have a chance to become the President of the United States. I'm what you call a naturalized citizen. I'm an alien once upon a time. That's the name. This is my adopted country. But I fell in love with it. I was somewhat of a stateless person before this. And I thank the Lord for the United States of America. This country that is still a beacon of hope, of freedom, of the rights, of justice. Still is. It's not over yet. I know China is rising. I know that GDP seems to be ellipsing, has ellipsed Japan, and just on our tails. I know most of the thing you have is made in China. But the U.S. is still the U.S.
Amen.
Believe me, God is not done with the United States.
Amen.
To use this country still as the base of his recovery. Thank the Lord for what he's doing in Asia, in India, in Africa, in South America. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're for that. Europe, we're for that. Absolutely. But I tell you, without the U.S., it'll be a different story. The U.S. is still needed. Now, this is not to make us proud. I'm stating a fact. Actually, this should humble us and cause us to be sober before the Lord and rededicate ourselves to Him, so that with whatever time we have remaining, the older saints and younger saints, with whatever time ahead of you, we will fulfill this great commission. The commission that is only given to the Lord's recovery. Now others will be carrying out their commission according to their vision. Christians, we will not criticize them. That's what they see. They are faithful to that. But we have seen something, and we ought to be faithful to that.
Amen.
The recovery will always be small in the principle of a remnant. We're not here just to be big. But the Lord's recovery ought to grow, ought to spread.
Amen.
It's been 50 years, and there's still 30,000 saints or less. 250, less than 300 churches. If you ask me, the Lord's recovery should have 50,000, 100,000, and more. We should have 500 churches, 1,000 churches. Yes or no?
Yes.
Am I crazy?
No.
Am I being unreasonable?
No.
We have a gap this long winter of many decades taken away from us. But do not just moan for that. I will tell you, those rebellion, those opposition actually made the recovery stronger today.
Amen.
The recovery is rooted in the USA, is not going to die. It's not going to go away. I can assure you of that. Now, we must look ahead. We must not let history be a ball of chain on our legs. We must not live the future according to the past. The most we would do is we learn from the past.
Amen.
And we are learning. The illness makes us stronger. We have better immune system now.
Amen.
This is a fact.
Amen.
But now, dear saints, we need to do the positive work.
Amen.
The positive work is that we need to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Proclaim the word of the truth of this ministry. Propagate this ministry. Spread the Lord's testimony. Churches have to grow. Existing churches have to grow. New churches should be established and raised up. State after state. Region after region. Until the Lord comes back.
Amen.
We need to grow in life.
Amen.
We need to be renewed. We need to apply what we have heard. We need to live the God-man life. We need to speak the high peak of the divine revelation. And we need to serve according to the God of the way in the scriptures. That's our commission for today. And I feel in the Midwest, in the states of Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, there's still many places where there's no church yet. Missouri, the great state, show me state, Missouri. Where is the church in Springfield? In Columbia, just to name two of the places. This vast territory. Chicago has 9 million people in its metro area. Milwaukee has 3. Minneapolis has 3. You know, I don't know how many in Cleveland or in Columbus area, Cincinnati. On and on and on and on. Young working saints, this is your time.
Amen. Amen.
You must give yourself to the Lord if you mean business. To live for this. To die for this. We did. We lived for the recovery and we would die for it. We follow our brothers ahead of us. So I don't think I have time for this. Right? It's already 9:30. What time is it now?
9:25.
Oh, thank the Lord I didn't pass that time. Now I don't know what to say. Tomorrow I think I should. Don't worry about the outlines, okay? The important thing is the anointing.
Amen.
So tomorrow I may continue with you something about history. I may say a few words about the revival. I look to the Lord for a coming revival.
Amen.
A new revival.
Amen.
Greater than the past.
Amen.
Even don't be nostalgic, saints, about the good old elden days. The better days, the more glorious days are in front of us.